live from the Goose Island Brewery and brought to you by Planters Cocktail Peanuts, Naturally Remarkable. Planters Nuts. I'm Delmon.
And I'm Alicious.
And this is EQ2 Talk.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? All those nights when you've got no lights, the check is in the mail, and your little angel hung the cat up by its tail, and your third fiancé didn't show. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see, our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
Today is March 11th, 2011. And we are recording episode 19. And why don't we have theme music, Allie?
Actually, I have no excuse today.
So you got nothing.
I got nothing.
Well, I think that fits in quite well with the theme of today's show. In honor of Brew Day going on in Norrath right now, in honor of the greatest deity in the game, Brell, we have decided to have a party here on EQ2 Talk. We have broken out our finest beverages. I'm enjoying the champagne of beers, Miller High Life. And let me have a swig right now. That tastes like Dracota piss.
Isn't it called Miller High Life?
I don't know what the hell it's called, but I'll tell you, it tastes like the sweat of a bugbear.
Why are you drinking it?
Because it's smooth.
Why don't you drink a better beer?
And it was $2.88 a six-pack.
Oh, I see.
It's premium brewed from Milwaukee, I guess, though. If this is the best thing that comes out of Milwaukee, Milwaukee's got a long ways to go. Apparently the canine community is excited by my choice of... Oh, God, that stuff. So, Allie, what are you enjoying as a beverage during our Brell cast here?
I am drinking Yellowtail Shiraz.
And how many have you had thus far?
Well, I'm on my second glass.
All right. So,
I did a little pregame. I noticed the Yellowtail label, the name is in brackets, like loot.
Did you try to click on it?
I did. To
inspect it?
I did. It didn't do anything.
So for this episode 19, we have decided to have no show notes, no dress rehearsal, no practice. Though I guess sometimes if you've listened to some previous podcasts, you would think we actually do it like that on every show. But this time we're actually going to try that. So we're going to have some fun. We're going to have some, I was almost going to say we're going to have some beers. But I wouldn't call this really a beer.
Well, why did you buy it?
It was cheap. Because, you know why? I'll tell you why. They had no Schaefer.
What's Schaefer?
Schaefer's the beer to have when you're having more than one.
Okay.
So I have my Miller High Life, and I have my Planters Cocktail Peanuts, made with pure sea salt, of course. And we're just going to springboard and jump off into, I guess, a discussion of what we've been up to in Velios. Velios has now been out, what, 3-some-odd weeks or so?
Has it been that long already?
I think it has. You know, I should have really checked, but then again, that would be going against having show notes and all that. It seems like 3 weeks or so-ish.
Yeah, well, we recorded the first show after launch was only four days after launch. So the last show we did, we only had 4 days worth of stuff to talk about. Now we've had 2 more weeks worth. So yeah, 2 weeks, 4 days-ish.
So what have you been up to in Velios? And then we'll just go from there.
Okay. Well, did we want to first have a word?
Oh, that's right. I'm so giddy with excitement. I forgot the word. What is our word?
I don't know. Pick a word. Should we let my husband pick a word?
Fair enough.
His first word was sassafras. And I said, no, you have to pick another word that comes up in conversation. His second word was the.
All right. Seeing he is no fun and of no use.
We'll have to pick another word.
We'll have to pick another word. Let's say Coldain.
Coldain?
Coldain.
Okay. Every time we say Coldain, you have to drink.
I will drink.
No, and the listeners have to drink. Unless you're driving while listening to the podcast, in which case...
Drink when you get home.
We do not recommend drinking while driving.
Nor texting.
Or texting. Or talking on the phone. Or listening to music. Or doing anything enjoyable at all. In fact, you should turn off the podcast right now if you're driving.
That's not the way to help us get listener numbers. Although they may want to after having just listened to this podcast.
We don't
so
want
far.
Them to get in a crash or anything.
All right, let's get back to the game.
Okay. So, Coldain.
Coldain. So everybody will take a drink, and it will be... Oh, we just said it. Let's all take a drink.
Okay.
Ah, oh, wow. And I guess the listeners will just have to do it on the honor system. We'll have to believe them.
Yes, we will.
What have you been up to in the land of the Coldain, Allie?
Well, first I have to tell you about a dream I had.
Yes.
I had this dream last night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did it involve Coldain?
No. Oh, you just said Coldain.
And so did you. Wow, that doesn't get any better.
You can't make me drink so fast back to back.
Okay.
Hold on. Give me a second here. Okay. Whew. All right. So I had a dream. This is a real dream. I actually had a dream last night. And
okay.
You were in it, though.
Was I?
No.
No. Oh.
You were wearing clothes. In fact, you were having some kind of get-together at your house, which I've never been to. But in my dream, apparently, I know what it looks like. I went to your house, and Ninja was there.
Okay.
Ninja came to your house, and I came to your house, and we were having dinner. You were off. You started the conversation, then you went off to the kitchen to go cook or something. And Ninja was asking me all these questions about what I thought of the expansion. And I was like all excited that he wanted to know my opinion of the zones and stuff, the instances. I just, you know, this is what I dream about.
I have to say this is quite disturbing. I would almost imagine that it's bordering on nightmarish. I don't know why I and EQ2 devs are hanging out in your dreams. This is
I don't either.
You need help, I think is what you need.
You know what's funny? This is the second dream I've had about an EQ2 dev having dinner with me.
And who is the first, dare I ask?
I don't know. It was an anonymous dev in my dream. Here's what happened.
Well, then how do you know he or she was a dev?
Because it was part of my dream.
Okay. Now, let me ask you.
Listen to the story.
Were there any Coldain at this dinner?
You suck.
No.
No, there were no dwarves of a blue color in my dream. But the first dream was actually a couple of years ago. Out of nowhere, I had a dream that SOE held some sort of a contest where if you win, an EQ2 developer will come to your house and have dinner with you. We won. My husband and I won this contest in my dream, of course. And the dev came over. I have no idea who it was. It was just some faceless, nameless, random EQ2 designer. So when the dev came to my house, he brought an infant child with him. And it ended up being my responsibility to look after the infant child. While my husband totally glommed onto him and started talking his ear off about the game. And I didn't get a chance to get a word in edgewise. I'm busy changing diapers. There was a birthday cake for some reason, and the kid was like smashing hands in the birthday cake, making a giant mess, and I'm changing diapers, and they're off chit-chatting. So I got screwed.
I have to say, this is most disturbing.
You know what's even more disturbing, Del?
Yes, that I'm going to put this in a podcast?
No, that the next day,
yes,
I sent in a feedback and told that story.
Wow. And your account wasn't banned or
no.
cut off?
I know. As soon as I was done sending it, I was like, whoa, maybe that wasn't such a good idea.
Yeah, you know, there's certain things that go on in my house, too, that I don't tell other people. It's called the privacy of my own home.
I know. I shouldn't have said anything.
And I think that story belonged in the privacy of your own home.
Well, I thought it was funny.
Okay. Okay.
I thought it was funny. You think it's creepy and weird?
I do think it's extremely creepy. Very weird.
Oh, no. Is it really?
Yeah, it really is. It's almost oh. Freudian, I would say. Oh, and I don't know what that means, but I'm going to use that word. Oh, yes.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say, if there's any developers who used to listen to the podcast, and I say that way because they're no longer going to, because if they find out that they're appearing in your dreams, that would creep them out, I think.
But it was just, it wasn't about them. It was about wanting to talk to their unwedlocked
child that they bring to your house.
Nobody said anything about unwedlocked. You're making this
up. Eating birthday cake? What is going on upstairs with you?
You made it so awful. It wasn't. It was funny.
Okay.
The kid was cute.
I really think we need to get back to Velius now.
Okay, I apologize for
And let's talk about the Clodane.
Oh, crap. I can't even drink. You're making me laugh. Stop it. What have I been up to? Well, let's see. Dying a lot?
Okay. Why do you think you're dying a lot?
Because I don't have any crit mints.
Okay.
Well, I do. I have 84.6% crit mint, but that's not enough. So I had to do some public quests to get some stuff to up my equipment and throw away all my Sentinel's Faint raid armor that I've been working so hard to get.
So really, you're already replacing...
Oh, hell yeah, I am. Out the window with the rest of that stuff.
Okay, okay.
Out the window. There's like a handful of pieces that I'm keeping so far.
So you're saying the stuff that you had... Now, you were kind of decked out in what? Tier 1? Tier 2?
Boy, you don't think very highly of me, do you?
No, not usually, but go on.
I was mostly tier 2.
Okay.
Maybe one, I don't know. Mostly okay. Tier 2.
But even then, you're throwing out mostly tier 2 stuff to replace it with DOV public quest stuff.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
Well, I mean, I'm not throwing it out. I'm keeping it. It's very painful. It's very painful to give up these hard won items with red adornment slots. You know what I mean? It's very painful.
Absolutely, because that's what I'm looking at myself now, too.
Yeah.
Some of this public stuff quest is nice in terms of its stat. It's certainly like plus 20 greater than what I have today. And seeing that we only need wisdom, in my case, wisdom and stamina, in your case, agility and stamina, there's huge bump ups in that stuff. But I'm giving up red adornment slots and other adornments.
It's very painful.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very painful.
But you've been doing it. I haven't. I've been resisting.
Well,
I've been hanging on to it.
You can keep your gear. It's not like you can't keep it. You can swap it back and forth, right?
Right. Absolutely. I'm not saying I'm going to mute it immediately. But
right,
even though I've picked up two pieces, I think, out of the PQs, I haven't equipped any of it yet. It's in my bags. And I'm like, I don't want to give up red slot stuff for this yet.
Well, you have to look at what you need. You know, if you're dying in raids, which we are, okay, because I've come to the realization that my raid force is casual.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay. Well, I've been resisting that concept for a long time. And I've just come to that conclusion. And you know what? It's okay. Because you know what? We have a really fun time together. Everybody loves being together. We have a lot of personalities, and I love those personalities, and I've seen the other side, and I don't like that other side, the lonely other side, where you get a lot of gear, but you don't have any friends, and you have no fun.
Fair enough. Yeah, sure.
I want to actually have fun while I'm playing. And if that means dying all the time and struggling and maybe not getting as much gear, I would rather do that. So that's what I've been doing. But we have so much fun trying, and the trying part is actually a lot of fun. And we come to the conclusion that we need a lot more crit mit. So as a raid force, we've been doing public quests. We've been starting out with public quests. And in fact, the last raid, we didn't really have enough signups to do a real raid. So okay. We basically just did a public quest, and then it was sort of like, well, let's go do the next one. So we did the next one, and then it was sort of like, well, we don't really have enough to do a zone, so why do you guys want to just keep on doing this for a while? So we did a third. So that part was kind of fun. After the third, I was like, I'm kind of done with this because I can do this by myself. I don't really need to be at a raid to do this. But, you know, just to get some gear that has a little more crit mit on it.
Okay.
Which it's kind of depressing that stuff that drops off contested named one arrow up mobs is comparable to some of the pieces I'm wearing. It's depressing that public quest drops some of the gooder, you know, good ones. I said gooder.
I think you did say gooder, but I was going to let it go.
Well, this is the Brell Day cast.
Absolutely. Anything goes here on Brell Day.
Yes, I'm already, you know, a few sheets down. Some of the public quest drops are edging out the gear that I'm wearing, which I hated that in the last expansion where, you know, I have all this raid gear and like some of the quest rewards are better than or, you know, close to my gear. Maybe not quite as good. So last expansion, I didn't necessarily drop a lot of stuff until I started doing instances, but just junk drops are edging out raid gear. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it's depressing.
Sure. But I think this balance that they have to strike. So you're coming out of the previous expansion in what we kind of call tier 2 gear from raid mobs. If they don't change the way the game is being played a little bit, I mean, all you're going to do is have to get something that's got plus greater than what you have, right?
Right.
We weren't thrilled as players in Sentinel's Fate when an upgrade was, you know, 1/10 better in potency, for example.
Right. No. Yeah, I'm not complaining. Believe me. I'm just saying it's depressing a little bit. But I think that little bit of depression comes along with any expansion, pretty much, when you've been getting close to the end game, but not quite reaching it before the expansion launches. I think there is a little bit of that new expansion depression when you didn't beat the end game. You know, we're no Equilibrium. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know where you're coming from. Yeah.
And by the way, are you wearing tier 2?
I'm wearing mostly tier 2 with like 2 or 3 tier 3 pieces.
Okay.
I have, I believe, the earring from Tox and Hard Mode Malice Helm. Other than that, I think it's all tier 2 stuff.
Okay. I just wanted to see how far behind I was.
Right. So, and I've had this challenge since getting into DOV is with what I had versus what I'm getting. I look at the stats and I say, wow, these stats are considerably larger, but that's all that's considerably larger. And I'd be giving up red adornment slots. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to do that just yet. I'm just getting back into raiding now. I just did Kratox the other night. And I joined a new guild. Yay me. It was tough. I left my previous one after about 2 years of having been in them. But as I've said in some of the previous podcasts, my guild was on kind of a downward slide. We were having a lot of attendance problems. And we unfortunately just de-evolved. We lost a lot of people. Some didn't purchase the expansions. Some moved on to different guilds. Some moved on to different servers with the free transfer that we got during the 12 Days of Veilius. And at the end there, we were lucky. After DOV, I had this hope, this fleeting hope, I guess, that something was going to change, that somehow Destiny of Veilius was going to turn this all around and people were going to come back. Well, they didn't. If anything, it just caused the last people in the lifeboat to bail even faster. And I looked around and we couldn't even field a full group, I think, at the end. Yeah, it really was. I mean, my guild had a great run. We had some ups and downs, and I think it's a little bit like an ocean wave at the beach. The waves goes up, and you kind of have to jump up, and then you kind of fall into the trough after it. But it seemed the next wave, we got real high again, but then the higher we were, the further we had to fall down, and it was that much harder to jump up back and get over that next wave. And eventually that trough became so deep we couldn't jump up anymore. We couldn't get out of the pit that we had fallen into. And, you know, for me, I wanted to do more. I wanted to continue raiding. I wanted to be in a progression-oriented raid guild that was always looking ahead to the next kill. And my current guild was not going to be able to do that. We weren't even going to, let alone a times four, we weren't going to be able to do a times two, or let alone even a full group, I think, at the very end. So,
well, I have to say, it's to me always very, very sad when a guild sort of falls apart or goes away, because especially a guild that's been around as long as the guild that you were in, it had a lot of history. It had a lot of clout, I think, on the server. And
it certainly did. Yeah.
It's really a sad day when that falls apart.
Yeah. The guild had been around since, I think, you know, within say 30 days of launch, it had been, you know, one of the original guilds on the Unrest server, and had certainly seen better days, some high times, and it was doing some very well in the past. I don't think there was one thing that contributed to it. I think there were a lot of things. You know, 6 years in at this point, you know, leadership was getting a little negative, I thought. It was tough at times to raid, because everything that didn't work was, oh, this is Sony's fault. This is Sony's fault. This is Sony's fault. And night in and night out of that, it starts to wear on you a little bit. The positivity wasn't there every night, so that just kind of weighed on players. It was funny. We would go certain nights towards the end, we would have 26, 28 people on Raider Raid, and we'd have a few folks having to sit. And then the next night, we'd be lucky if we could put together three groups.
Right.
And then, okay, then we couldn't put together three groups, so then we were just getting over 12. And, okay, you know, back to the times two, or back to killing the same mobs. I mean, how many times did we kill Urnax there in labs over and over again? I mean, not only did every bruiser and monk have gear, we were past selling everything, you know?
Oh, no, Del. Bruiser monk gear doesn't drop any more often than any other piece.
I know. That with such disdain for the Kuldane who say that doesn't happen.
Oh, my God. You did it again. I was wondering, you know, I was going to do it.
Sorry, I beat you to it.
I was going to blame the Kuldane for your guild falling apart.
They are a crafty bunch, those Kuldane.
Suck.
So it just got to the end, and there were a lot of things that contributed to it. And I think a lot of people were just tired, and they weren't having fun, which is fine. I've never begrudged anybody at any time leaving a guild or leaving a game to say, hey, I'm not having fun anymore, and I don't want to do this.
By the way,
yes.
I'm now pouring glass number three. Wow, that sounds really good.
Where was I?
I don't know. You were talking about your guild falling apart, but then you found a new guild.
Then I found a new guild, yeah.
New home. Let's hear about it.
I have to be honest. I've only been in it 72 hours, I think, if I'm lucky.
And are you excited?
I'm very excited. I've got that new car smell.
Yes.
And I like how I smell.
Yes.
However,
let me ask you this. On the first raid, did you try and show off and do something really awesome?
I tried to.
Did you try and stand out and, like, you know, prove yourself and, you know, put the feathers out?
Absolutely. I am, like, all set, you know, got to shine, got to make sure people see me, got to make sure, you know, I'm on the parse, that I'm recognized, that I'm not just some slouch in group four, right? So what happens? The very first thing, we zone in, we pull the first trash, and I get one-shotted. So I absolutely stood out because the dirge came over to res me, and it didn't work. And, of course, they have to have a macro that says resing Delmon.
Oh, no.
So everybody gets to see it being pushed like three or four or five times. Resing Delmon. No. And I'm like, son of a B, here's how I'm standing out. I'm dead. And then, of course, I got to say Menderbot because, like an idiot, I forgot to repair beforehand.
Oh, Del! No, you didn't.
So, yeah, I've stepped out. I'm standing out right now. They know who I am. After
That's really bad.
Nah, I know.
But so, you're normally on your game.
I am. Just... You know what it is? It's there's a whole lot, you know, in this type of guild where, you know, they move quickly. They have been doing DOV content since DOV launched. So I'm even though I'm only, say, 2 weeks behind.
Right.
It's like an
eon, right?
Exactly. So when we zone in, you know, and I said to the group, listen, hey, these are my first DOV raids. I don't even know where you stand, if the what the joust calls are. I know nothing. So this is all new to me. I have no timers. I'm probably going to get disco just for zoning
they
in.
They know that you haven't been there.
Absolutely. So. You still want to stand out, but not in the way that I've been standing out.
Yeah.
And not only that, there's all these little things that I was kind of realizing after my first night. I'm behind the eight ball on. Mm-hmm. So when
What? Tell me what you're behind on.
Sure. The raid leader's giving the calls. I don't know what his voice sounds like. I don't know what anybody's voice sounds like in Ventrilo. Mm-hmm. So I'm constantly saying, okay, is that the raid leader? Is that the dirge? Is that the main Templar? Who's talking? Who's saying what? You know, they're using nicknames of people.
Okay.
And I don't, you know, so they're saying like Allie. And I'm like, who's Allie?
Right.
I'm looking up and down for a person named Allie.
Somebody named Allie. Used to have a tune named Allie, but now they rolled a Troubadour.
Exactly.
That was more needed, and it's named something else.
And it's named something. So I'm spending a lot of time matching up names, trying to figure out who's what.
Right.
You know, what classes are what. You know, who's the tank here, who's not the tank, who's the usual main tank, who's the off tank. So I'm behind on all these little things that I think a lot of people just take for granted.
Yes.
So my first, I think, I've been on two raids with them so far. I'm getting killed a lot.
Yeah.
Because, again, I don't know all the mechanics that they have worked on over the past 2 weeks. And, you know, they're killing some of the I'll call them the Urnox of this expansion, the very first guy in who, you know, it seems to be a tank and spank with a joust who announces when it's time to joust out. So to some degree, I'm following the herd. It happened on one encounter, too, just the other night. The main tank, the raid leaders, okay, we're going to, you know, remember what we did last time? We fight them here, we jump over here, we move here. Okay, back and forth, and then the water, and then we kill the turtles. And I'm like, huh?
What?
All I heard was turtles, right?
Are you sure it wasn't Cold'Dane?
I don't know if there were Cold'Dane in the zone. So I'm in the group, and I said this in group. I said, all I heard was turtles. And somebody said, just follow the herd. And I'm like, okay, yeah.
Awesome.
I can kind of follow that. So, and I don't know what characters look like, you know, so sometimes you key off people's visuals or you know where they're going to stand. So
but
I don't
know.
What
zone was the turtles in?
They were in Kratox.
Okay. We haven't gotten out of the vestibule.
Okay. So
don't tell me.
I hate to say, I don't even know where that is because they were killing stuff and I was just following the herd through the zone. So I'm behind the eight ball on all these little things. And I don't have DK. They're linking items. They're bidding. And I'm like, wow, I'm going to be bidding on that, but I don't have any DK people.
At least you're in the channel.
That's I am now.
That's good. You're in the channel. You know what? You're one step ahead of where you were yesterday.
Exactly. So,
you know, and part of joining a new guild is dying a lot. Part of joining a new guild is... I'm being told that we saw turtles on night one. They saw. You know what? I wasn't on that raid. You know why?
Because you were playing with Cold'Dane?
I couldn't. No, I was playing with a throwing up child.
Oh, okay.
So I couldn't raid the first raid night of Velius.
He was AEing.
Yes, he was.
Projectile. So you're right. There's all these little new things that I think players who have been in a guild for a long time or have been raiding together, especially in the raid scenarios, they're comfortable. They have all that stuff is second nature to them.
Yeah.
And to me, it's all brand new. It's exciting, and I want to be putting on a good show. I want to be showing that I, you know, I kind of deserve to be here, that I'm a good raid member to have.
Right.
I'm a good guild mate to have. But right now I'm just sticking out for all the wrong reasons, unfortunately. And I was thinking last night, I go, wow, man, I got to get my act together here. I got to start getting my head in the game. Not to say that I'm not thinking correctly, but I'm just not used to all this stuff. I got to start acclimating myself better and faster than I have been, so that I'm not like, gee, this guy really sucks because he can't stand up for his stuff when we're here.
But before your previous guild sort of dissipated, things were, that energy level was there before.
In terms of what we were killing? Sure, sure.
Right. So it's not as if you're not used to that energy level. You're just in with a bunch of new people who they all have the rhythm. They have the ebb and flow of the raid party. They know what's going on, and you're just kind of trying to keep up. And they obviously needed a Templar, or they wouldn't have brought you in.
Right, right.
So they know that you're going to die a bunch of times, probably. You know, and I think that's probably like a rite of passage kind of when you join a new raid guild, that you die a whole bunch of times, and you know, you try and keep up and you look like a fool a little bit, and then you get your feet under you a little more, and then you become part of the ebb and flow of the raid party, and then you have arrived.
Right. I've talked in the past about what makes a guild successful when it comes to raiding, and I commonly say the three C's of raiding.
Right.
Classes, consistency, and commitment.
Yeah.
And I'm missing that middle C right now, consistency. I don't know their consistency because I haven't been with them.
Right. Which is understandable.
Right.
And forgivable.
So I think, you know, much like when you're grouping with friends regularly, you learn, gee, I know I can let the tank go down this low before I have to heal them. Healing is a lot of, you know, kind of on the fly feeling and learning, you know, just how fast do I have to keep refreshing that heal? Is he, I can let him dip to 80 without having to make sure I'm hitting the panic heal button right away because he's good enough to stand up. See, I don't have that, so I don't know where they're okay with, you know, how can I keep these people up the best?
Yeah, it's the same with DPS. You know, I know certain tanks, how high I can go on the hate meter, where is my tipping point with certain tanks? I can judge that based on if it's a new tank that I'm not used to. Usually I'll just start out easy. And if I already jump to the top of the hate meter, I'm in big trouble. You know, but people I'm used to, I know I can go to a certain point. And in fact, I can go way past the line and then rein it back in, and they will snatch it back from me, and I'm not going to die because I also know the healers. So yeah, you definitely get a sense of the group that you're with, especially in a raid. If you are end up being grouped with the same people, which that usually happens, at least for me, I end up getting grouped with the same people. So I know their rhythms as well. You know, you have sort of like a group jive. I don't know how to explain it exactly.
Again, yeah, it's that consistency feeling. You know each other from having done it over and over again. And let me tell you, one thing that kind of irked me a little bit about my old guild was when we were doing encounters like that, if there was a wipe, we were almost immediately reconfiguring raid groups, moving people around. One wipe, and okay, we have to reconfigure.
No.
And that frustrated me because I'm like, we're not building that consistency because one minute I'm in this group, the next minute I'm over here, and I didn't see any particular reason why we were doing that other than, well, that didn't work, so we have to try something else.
Well, sometimes it's the strategy.
Right, but I don't think we should have to do that immediately after the first pull. We should have to, let's go through this a couple of times.
Yeah.
And get that comfortable that comfortability with what's going on before we just start reconfiguring the raid force all over again and swapping people around.
Yeah, yeah. One experience that I've had, well, I should say I've only really had one solid raid experience so far in DOV. You know, I got to participate a little bit in the sort of brainstorming about the encounter, and it was so much fun to, you know, you try something, you see what happens, then you make adjustments and you try it, and then you try it again, and you maybe try it one more time to make sure that it's not a fluke, and then you adjust and you try something different. Yeah, I don't know about changing the raid group setup after every single pull. I don't think that's necessary. But you know what? It sounds like you're in a good situation now. It sounds like you're, you know, in a situation where the leaders, you know, are pretty comfortable with the raid party, with like a handful of maybe a couple of new people.
And I think one thing too that maybe, you know, maybe I'm over exaggerating this as one of my things I need to help myself fit in with. I think these guys are all from Nagina. Not that that should really matter at this point.
No,
but
you know what? This whole Nagina thing, I'm coming to the realization there's some hardcore ass people from Nagina, and they're badass. And I'll leave out the rest of what I was going to say. They're badass.
Well, by badass, do you mean that they're good players?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I don't think you mean by badass by like they're smoking and wearing leather jackets in the schoolyard.
They're smoking hot. They're smoking hot. Let me tell you something. When I do public quests, you can see there are certain names that you get to recognize. And you know if those names are there or those guild tags are there, you have a win. You have a win.
I agree. And I think we
talked about this. And I'm totally a coattail rider when it comes to the public quest. Oh, I'm a coattail rider. I'll admit it. But there are a ton of people from Nagina who I think they brought over a bunch of really badass raid guilds. A bunch of them. Not just like one. There are a bunch of people. There's a bunch of raid guilds.
I agree.
I mean, Unrest was never this, you know, hardcore. They all flipped. They went over to AB.
I agree. When I think prior to the Nagina Unrest merger, when I happened to be looking at a certain website that lists progression, there were a lot more guilds that were
a certain website
further along in progression than there were on Unrest. So yeah. I agree. There are I don't want to say they're necessarily better players, but I think your description of them is a great way. They're badass. They are better than the average. The average Nagina player, I think, was better than the average Unrest player.
Absolutely.
I was going to say, as much as Unrest players, we mock them, I think they are better than we are, or we were.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I did see one of our listeners at a public quest recently, and I went over and hailed her a bunch of times.
Did she, like, say, get away from me, you creep?
No, she sent me a tell after the fact.
Okay.
But I think she's way more uber than any of us.
Okay, she's not in any of your dreams, is she?
No.
Okay.
Creepy. Don't make me creepy.
All right. Well,
I'm really not creepy, really.
You're just a Coldane in disguise.
Oh my god, you suck.
So let's talk about public quests because we keep saying that, but we haven't talked much about it.
Okay, let's talk about public quests. We had an experience together.
Yes.
Public quests recently.
Yes.
Just me and you.
Just the two of us.
And did you
castles
have
in the sky?
Yes. Did you have fun?
I had a lot of death.
But it wasn't my fault.
Well, there was actually one of them was your fault.
Yes, one of them was my fault. You know why?
Because you got a little too close.
I just sort of, yeah. We were in between. You know that little thing where they're going to go to the decrease difficulty level?
Yes, and you said...
But you're being overwhelmed. And I thought they were people, like players. And I kind of like wandered over, and then I realized, no, these are mobs. Run away. So I ran away towards Del and
got me splattered.
But it was kind of humorous.
I've been doing a lot of Stormgorge. I'm going to say I've exclusively done Stormgorge.
It's
done the Ring War at all yet.
Oh, really? Never?
No, I haven't.
Okay, no wonder you only have two pieces. Go do the Ring War and I'm telling you, ride the coattails. I'll give you a list of player names that you need to look out for and guild names.
Okay.
And if those people are there, you're in a win situation.
Now, you just told me the other day, now I wasn't aware of this, that on the Stormforge one, you're supposed to hail the Coldane runner and get something from him.
You just said Coldane.
I did say Coldane. That's three.
I didn't even realize
I said Coldane there until you said that I said Coldane.
I can't drink that fast. Stop it. I can't drink that fast. Wine is not beer.
So we're supposed to hail this guy and get something from him. Now,
yes,
the first
supply runner.
Right. The first few times I wasn't able to actually do that. I finally managed to catch him on that last run and get something from him.
Rewind.
Okay.
And explain. At least I think we need to rewind and explain. So on the Storm Gorge public quest, after the first wave, there's a little guy that comes through, a little gnome, I think he is, comes through the doors with a board in his hand. Yes, I said board. It's a piece of wood. And you hail him. He's called the something or other supply runner. You hail him, and he offers you a variety of tools and gadgets to help you beat this encounter. Somebody way back, a couple of weeks ago, way back in the day, a couple of weeks ago, told me you need to get the heal thingamajiggy. Okay? And yep. It's a little orb on a stick, basically. And just hot bar the thing and leave it there because it'll disappear when you go away from the thing. But, you know, if you hail the guy, heal-o-matic is what it's called. You get a heal-o-matic and you heal the Siege Marshal, I think is his name. But the key is after that second wave, if the Siege Marshal goes down, that's the worst one. I haven't gotten past the first round, the second round, I should say, because nobody heals the Siege Marshal. This poor little guy is just going down and I'm targeting through him. I'm targeting through him and I'm doing my pew, pew, pew with the arrows and healing as much as possible. But then you have like, you know, half the raid party is coattail riders, so they don't know anything. They're just riding the coattails, right? And there's maybe like three people who know what's going on, and that's not enough.
I think you're exactly right. I think there are a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with this. I guess it's just another play style of public quest, who just show up and nuke things that are aggro. They just start firing arrows or spells or whatever it is. It's very chaotic. And I think a lot of people, one, don't look at the quest journal and say, we need to kill this. I mean, they're still killing one type of mob where we've already killed enough of them and we have to get on another type to complete that stage.
Right.
They're just interested in pew, pew, pewing, which is fine. And
well, it's very confusing. If you're not looking at the quest journal, you don't know what you're supposed to be killing.
That's correct. Much like myself, too. I didn't know there was the runner who could give you supplies that would help you in the encounter either. So at least in Storm Gorge, I think a lot of people are just trying to get on the pars, right? To use that as a phrase. They're just interested in DPSing and not actually being successful in the encounter. They're measuring their success in how much damage or clicking or whatever the thing is to beat the anti-slacker code is. Rather than follow the script of the encounter, they're just blasting and nuking everything.
But you know what? That's okay. That's a legitimate play style as well. And you're going to always have a percentage of the population that falls into the coattail riders like myself. I mean, I have a clue. I do have a clue. I'm not a total slacker loser, really.
I just
play one on TV. But
I think the encounter could be made better by putting a little bit of red text, and I use that in quotes, the red text type thing that says, enough howlers have been killed, work on storm bursts or something like that that could come up that would tell people.
Here comes the supply runner, and he'll help you.
Right,
whatever.
Right. So that people understand the script a little better.
Can I remind you of something? Let me remind you of something. Sorry to interrupt you, but do you remember previous episode when you complained about too much red text?
I did, but in this case, there's no red text. So
that is true.
People have no idea what the script is. There's something that can be said for hints, and then there's something for too much of it. And there's a happy medium that needs to be found.
Well, anyway, besides all the little nuanced details, how do you feel in general about public quests?
I love them. Absolutely love them.
I do, too. I think they're awesome, and I have so much fun. And it's, like I said the last show, it's like a quickie. Wow, that sounded bad. It's like a no strings attached. It's kind of like, no, this is going to sound bad. I was going to say it's kind of like, I can't say it. Never mind.
I'll say it. It's like a one night stand where I'm not going to phone them and I'm probably going to be gone before they even wake up.
Exactly. Pretty much that's what it's like. Only with no negative side effects at all. You don't feel bad at all. You don't feel bad at all that the guy doesn't call you the next day.
No, that's true. Although I have to say I have felt bad. If there's one thing that does frustrate me about them is the lag that goes on during them. I mean, it is just tremendous. It happened to you the other night when we were grouped. I could see you were dying and I could hear you in voice chat saying, heal me. But I am spam clicking my mouse button as fast as I can. But that bar is not moving.
Well, okay. I have gotten a little piece of advice from one of our listeners, Spiders. He said, I have a suggestion for you for those public quests lag issues. New video card?
Yeah.
So that's the number one. So part of it, you have to kind of chalk up to our own personal limitations of our computers.
Okay.
You do. You absolutely do. Look at it. You're not talking about, this is not a raid. This is a raid plus however many happen to be in the zone at that encounter, plus however many people are in this massive, enormous, expansive overland zone that are not at this event.
Understood.
Okay? Plus all of the spell effects. Okay. And these mobs are riding horses and discs and throwing spell effects, and they have, you know, AI. They're moving around. They're not just standing there static. They're actually moving around and doing stuff. So there's a ton of lag.
Absolutely.
Because of what's going on. So you either turn your settings all the way down. When you know you're going to be doing a public quest, just turn it all the way to the minimum possible level. And then maybe consider getting a new video card.
Those sound like very simple solutions, but they necessarily don't solve the problem. And it's just frustrating as a healer because I can see people dying and I want to heal them. I'm trying to heal them and I can't. And I'm limited by the function of the game and the servers on the back end. That's frustrating that I want to be a champion. I want to be the hero and I can't help them. I'm stymied in what I can do.
Right.
And of course, my first thought is they must think I'm a slack healer because I'm not healing them. But at times it is just brutal. I mean,
it is brutal. However, think of it this way. Okay, I work at a magazine. Okay, we have to mail out our issues. We get complaints from people who say they didn't get their issue for whatever reason. Okay, once we mail it, I have no control over the mail system. If your local mail delivery sucks, I can't do anything about it. And also, if you're like mailroom guy in the basement doesn't deliver your magazine to your desk and he delivers it to like Joe Schmo up on the third floor, I can't be responsible for that either. If he doesn't know where your office is, right? It's the same thing. They can't be responsible for our crappy equipment that we have in our however many thousands of houses across the globe, right?
Correct.
I know I need a better system. I know I can always upgrade. You know you can upgrade, Mr. Cheapass.
I did just upgrade. I am playing on a pretty powerful machine right now. That's why I can tell that it's server lag and not client lag.
You upgraded your entire system?
Yes.
The whole thing?
The whole thing.
To the present day top of the line?
Yes.
Not to, like, top of the line minus one?
Nope, top of the line. It's a pretty powerful system. So, and I believe it's Rothgar has posted and he explained some of the differences between client lag and server lag and how you can tell the difference.
Okay.
And I believe, don't quote me, I'd have to go back and check, but when you see slow spell starts and finishes, that's back end server lag. That's not client lag.
What do you mean? Like if I hit a combat art and I click the button and it doesn't happen right away?
Correct.
Okay, because that has happened.
That I believe he has described that is a symptom of server lag.
How about the choppy where it goes? It's like a stuttering, where you hear.
That I believe is client lag.
Oh, did you like that sound effect?
I kind of did. It was kind of cool.
It was Coldane.
Was it Coldane-ish?
Yes, it was.
That was good because I did need a drink.
Were you parched?
I was a little parched, yes. I was a little dry-mouthed. So I have to say I am enjoying the pub quests more so than the lag has deterred me from doing them. I'm at almost every one every time it comes up. I do like that they come up at the top of every hour.
That is cool.
They're far enough apart, but frequent enough that I can participate. So I do much enjoy that.
Completely awesome. Completely awesome. And when I was brushing my teeth this morning, I was thinking, when are they going to add the next one? And when are they going to put it? Oh, my God. Are they going to put it in the half hour? Now I'm going to have to go back to Antonica or Common Lands or wherever in between. And it's just going to be like nonstop public quests. What am I going to do?
You'll be able to get to them faster now because you have a flying mount.
I don't have a flying mount. I just today had to teach my flying mount how to dance.
You haven't finished that quest yet? Come on, Allie.
Hey, you know what? I told you I'm going where the wind blows me. And the wind has blown me very slowly. Like first I was doing instances. I was doing whatever. And I'm telling you, whenever anyone invites me to an instance, I drop what I'm doing and I go do it. Unless I'm doing a podcast, which is totally cutting into my instance time, I will have you know.
It's certainly not cutting into your drinking time. But that quest alone, I think, now having done it, I can cast aspersions on those who haven't. Worth the time in doing it. I wish I had gotten to it sooner. I made true on my promise. As soon as I got it, I completed it in Great Divide, flew around in Great Divide, and then I immediately went over to the Farrat and flew around in the Farrat.
Oh,
I absolutely,
and
yes,
what did you
I
see?
Loved
Tell
it.
Us.
Absolutely loved it. I did not know there was a shelf on the top of the Lost Temple of Kazakhthul that you can land on. There's like this shelf up there with plants growing on it.
Plants growing on it.
Plants. It's amazing.
What do you mean
it's
plants?
Like bushes, trees, flowers growing
on the top of Kazakhthul.
On the top of Kazakhthul, yes.
Do you think those were there before?
Don't know. Do not know, because I don't think we could see up there before.
I want to know if they put those up before. If those were there, were those actually there?
I don't know.
Did they plant seeds in two expansions ago and we just now see?
Perhaps. But flying, when you fly, it is like, I have to say, it is like a whole new game. I saw somebody post that somewhere.
Is it a whole new world, Dylan?
It is a whole new world. It is the wing beneath my wings.
I'm thinking of the Aladdin song.
A whole new world, that's where we'll be.
It's just like that. It really is. As dorky and as goofy as that sounds, I cannot understand how we lived without this aspect in the game before. It has revolutionized the world of Norrath. I see the game in a totally different view. It's just amazing. I mean, we had the flying griffins before or the flying carpets to move us around Desert of Flames. Now you can go wherever you want and you can look at whatever you want. I landed myself, if you remember, in the Storm Gorge area there. There are these two giant statues. What are they statues of?
They're Kul'Dane.
They're Kul'Dane statues. That's right, Allie.
Big-ass shields with a really cool like Celtic pattern on them. Those were the Kul'Dane statues that I was talking about in the last episode.
Yes.
With when I put the settings on, and it just was like totally immersive, where you see them in sort of a blurry look.
Yes, I flew up there with my griffin, and I landed on one of their helms and sat.
I'm sorry. I'm being told by my husband, he's sending me notes on paper. He says, I have the urge to shout caw-caw when I fly.
Very nice. But it's true. You just see things that you would have never seen before, or angles, or been in spots in the game you would never think you would be in before. I mean, sitting up there, you are, again, pardon the pun, on top of the world.
Yeah.
And looking down on everything. You can sit, say, when you go to the public quest, you know, the giant Storm Gorge wall that's there? You can sit up on the top of that and watch the public quest from above if you want. And then, what's even cooler, I like my screaming griffin when I, like, point it nose down and go below the hard deck with it. It's awesome. It's like, I cannot believe we haven't had this in game before. Anybody who hasn't seen EverQuest 2 without the flying mounts in it, you have to buy it and come back and just complete that quest and fly around in the game. It is so worth doing.
I'm not even there yet. I'm so jealous. But you know what I did finish?
No.
My pack pony.
The pack pony. I have finished that as well. I like it.
I love it.
He's a little too snuggly for me, okay?
What?
You know, every time I summon him, he whinnies and he like nuzzles me or something. I'm like, nah, dude, back off. You're a pack horse, okay? Back off me. He's a little too friendly.
Oh, whatever. Whatever. You know what it is? It's that big giant dwarf belly of yours.
Yeah.
That it just obviously looks like a pillow.
He's rubbing the Buddha for luck.
Yes, that's what it is. He's rubbing the Buddha, the Coldane Buddha.
I like it.
We're offending somebody.
Probably.
We must be.
We're probably offending the Coldane.
I said Coldane.
I like it, and I like what it can do, but the only thing I wish I could do with it is right now I'm harvesting Tier 4 stuff. So I can level the trail.
The trailer.
The trailer
is apparently. You know what? I have a trailer that's also a trailer.
I feel it's like I should hook him up to a Humvee and drive him around.
It's my last trade skiller on my main account to reach 90.
Oh, very nice.
I have almost there. 1, 2, 3, 4 level 90s. 5 level 90s. I apologize. On my main account, and my tailor is only level 70. She's the slacker. So she's the trailer.
But I've been sending out my pack pony for tier 4 stuff.
Yeah.
And he's showing up with peaches and and leaves and fish.
Leaves?
Yeah, I don't know what the hell he's
gathering. Leaves, scattered. Rocks and things.
Yeah, rocks. And I'm like, I need roots. I need pelts. And sticks. That's all I need.
Sticks and roots and leaves. Okay.
And pelts.
And pelts and rocks.
I don't need the food. I don't need the fish. I don't need the rocks. But he's bringing back all this stuff. So what is the frugal Delmon do with it all?
Sells it on the broker.
Exactly. So right now I got like 4 stacks of peaches selling for a copper on the broker because I can't destroy this stuff.
I remember when peaches were the pardon my French. When the peaches were...
The shizzle.
Sorry. Sorry, I slipped. The peaches were... That was the thing to have.
Now I got them coming in... I got them coming in every 3 hours. So I wish...
Hey, never turn your nose up at a cookie.
Right.
Or a peach.
Or I shouldn't look a gift pony in the mouth.
That's right. You shouldn't look a gift pony in the mouth,
but
or any other orifice for that matter.
Hey now, I feel compulsed not to destroy these things because you know they're worth something. They're worth a copper apparently. If I could turn them off, I wouldn't harvest them because then I wouldn't have the compulsion to have to sell them. So you know I fear that the broker is just going to become full of 1 copper harvestables.
The Coldane would buy those off of you.
I don't think the Coldane would want to buy peaches.
I think they would.
They're going to want to buy the Shagpegni of beer. By the way, did you know there's 0.355 liters in a can of beer?
No, I did not.
You would know that if you were drinking this smooth High Life.
My bottle says vintage 20 over 09. And it also says, wait, I'm looking for the size. It's a 1.5 liter. We buy the big ones. But you know what? I can take this bottle to Maine and get 15 cents back or Iowa.
Those maniacs.
Would you like me to send you this bottle so you can get 15 cents?
No, no, I don't need 99 bottles of Alley beer on my wall.
Wait, can I read this to you?
Please? Okay. You're not only reading it to me, you're reading it to everybody else who just downloaded this podcast, but that's okay.
It says flavors, mulberry,
smite.
Mulberry, spice, smooth vanilla. Enjoy with a good steak or in front of a roaring fire.
Coldane.
Click. Because remember, it's in brackets.
Click.
You gotta click on it.
If you right, if you right click on it, can you see it in your appearance? All right.
Oh, that almost came out my nose. Oh my goodness. This is, whose idea was this drunken podcast anyway?
It was the original party god. It was the original party god, Burrell.
The party god.
I don't know who the sanitation god in HaveRequest 2 is. All right, did we have anything else we want to talk
Are
about?
Are we done? Did we come to an end already? I didn't get to say anything.
I think we should wrap this up.
Really?
I think so.
That's very sad. All right, that's fine. I'm going to pour number 4. Well, I just want to say I love this expansion. Okay, so there are like a whole bunch of wish list items that we had that were answered with this expansion. I feel like this is finally EQ2 is back. That's how I feel about this expansion. I feel like EQ2 is back, and I just want to, like, tell everybody, all my old friends who quit the game, to come back because it's totally awesome now. And it's hard. And you can go out there and die. You can go out there and get your ass kicked by a worm wearing tier 2 raid gear.
I absolutely agree. I think EverQuest 2 in the Destiny of Values is exciting because some of the challenge is back. You know, it's not the cakewalk that a lot of stuff has been in the past, especially in the overland zones, where it really has been a little bit of a pushover. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see things that take a little bit of effort, that I don't just walk up to mobs and they fall over dead and give me loot. I like that I have to struggle a little bit. I do have to think about, how am I going to engage this encounter? Whereas I think in some of the most recent past expansions, the overlands have just been a way to rack up levels in AA. I'm really having a good time too, because the game is back as far as I'm concerned. It's a game again. It's just not something to walk through.
Yes. And if you're getting your ass handed to you, just ask for help, because there are people, there's a whole community of people who will come and help. If your server's anything like Unrest, there's Absolutely. A whole community of people who will come and help and do stuff with you. And then you get to meet people. Isn't that what an MMO is all about?
You're right. And you know why they'll come sometimes too? Is because they're also getting their asses handed to them.
Exactly.
And they want to group up. So I think you're right. I think too, one thing I just want to say about the public quest that dawned on me while you were saying that was, in the past, it always seemed everybody ran off to the instances and you never saw anybody except for outside those instance hubs areas. Now in the public quest, I'm seeing players again. So as much as I am kind of upset about the lag a little bit, and I hope it goes away over time, I'm excited to see people.
Yes!
To be playing with them, even though maybe I'm not directly with them or raiding with them.
And you don't know them.
Exactly.
They're random people.
I've seen all these players again.
And maybe they get
again.
To know you, and you get to know them, and it's just a whole wonderful, awesome Coke commercial.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honeybees and snow white turtle doves.
Okay, maybe we should have another drink.
All right, so one more time, Coldane.
What? Coldane, oh yeah. And if you are going to miss, if you feel like you're missing something this week, it's Are You Smarter? Because you know what? We didn't prepare anything, so Dell Smarter this week.
It'll be back next week, yes.
Next week. What are we doing next week? Not next week. 2 weeks from now.
Next show is a surprise.
You know what? We should start thinking about changing our schedule. Maybe we should do this every week so we don't have to worry about saying it next week.
Okay, with that, let's say thank you to everybody who took the time to download the podcast. We certainly hope you enjoyed this slightly different edition of EQ2 Talk. It was something we wanted to try. We hope it worked out. If it doesn't, we won't do it again. So let us know what you think. Did you enjoy this? We have no show notes and are drinking while we're doing the show.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not for you, but maybe it is for us. Maybe we like the Coldain. Maybe we don't like the Coldain. No. Maybe you like the Coldain. Maybe they like the Coldain. Who the heck knows? But if you like the Coldain or you dislike the Coldain, you can reach out and send us an email. So for me, that's Delmon@EQ2Talk.com.
And I'm Allie@EQ2Talk.com.
You can also find us over on the Facebook. So for me, I'm Delmon Dragonhammer.
Sorry. What am I? I'm Alicious Fool of the Woo.
You can also like the podcast if you actually do. You can like it by searching for EQ2 Talk as well. And if you haven't heard, Delmon is now on the Twitter. So you can find me there if you want to follow me and see what I've been up to in between each of our podcasts. You can find me as Delmon EQ2. All one word. That's Delmon EQ the number 2.
And you know, Allie's on Twitter too, but she doesn't say anything.
She doesn't tweet. Okay.
But she's there. She's a coattail rider.
And let's not forget to say thank you to our sponsor this week, our corporate sponsor as always. I want to say a big shout out to Planters Cocktail Peanuts, a member of the Kraft Food Group. Planters, naturally remarkable. Nuts. And also a thank you to the Champagne of beers, Miller High Life, established 1903.
Oh, and let's not forget about Yellowtail and those wonderful Australians who know how to make a wine.
Although they do make it upside down.
What?
So I'm off to enjoy some tiger blood, fill up my Adonis DNA, and hang out and group with some warlocks. So say goodnight, Allie.
Goodnight, Allie.
Coldain.
Stop. You all laughed out now?
I believe I am.
Oh. Yes, lilt. You need to lilt your voice. Just don't say 2011. That's annoying.
Hi. Oh, I can hear myself.
I choked when you say cocktail. You sound mad.
How should I be?
You're just so, you know, you're trying to be all serious and you sound mad. Wow, nice stomach gurgle. That was good. Sometimes you sound like you're selling furniture. Sometimes you sound like you're introducing a NASCAR show.
Did you say pornature?
Furniture.
Oh, all right. I didn't know if that was like things you sat on while making or watching porn. So, Allie, what beverage have you pow.
I hope Funny Delmon is still there. You know, the cold day would be disappointing.